Democratic gubernatorial candidate Mary Burke unveiled her jobs plan last week, while Governor Walker signed a tax cut package and addressed questions about his pledge to create 250,000 jobs during his first term. In this half of our State Capitol Report, we'll talk with a guest economist about each candidate's ideas for the economy, and we'll welcome your questions and reactions, too. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Monday, March 31st. Which candidate do you think has a better approach to creating jobs, and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Brian Jacobson, Associate Professor of Business Administration at Wisconsin Lutheran College and a Chief Portfolio Strategist at Wells Fargo Advantage Funds, LLC. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for being back with us. So how would you describe the state of Wisconsin's economy right now?
I'd say that the economy is getting better in Wisconsin. It's good, but it's certainly not great. I think that the pace of job growth has been very disappointing for just about everybody, and it's somewhat defied expectations, most people's expectations. There were a number of people who were anticipating that the recovery in Wisconsin would perhaps be subpar relative to the national recovery, but overall, I think that it has been quite disappointing, and there's a number of reasons for that that perhaps if you'd like we can get into, but I think that in general it is beginning to improve. And just like the weather is beginning to improve, I think that our economy is beginning to get a little bit sunnier.
Well, and wait till you hear the forecast, though. in any case, I do want to talk a little bit about why we are subpar. The latest figures from the Bureau of Labor Statistics show that Wisconsin is adding private sector jobs, but at a much slower pace than most of the nation. I think we're 35th. Governor Walker says we're doing better than we were before he took office. But when you look at those statistics compared even to the rest of the Midwest, except Illinois, Wisconsin is 9 out of 10 Midwestern states in terms of job creation. Why are we so subpar?
Well, part of it is just the composition of employment in Wisconsin. When we're comparing ourselves to, let's say, Minnesota or Michigan, one of the things that people might not realize is that manufacturing plays a bigger role in the Wisconsin economy than it does in Minnesota or Michigan as far as the percentage of people employed in manufacturing industries, whereas in Minnesota and Michigan, the biggest employer is actually in the more the healthcare and services industry. So over this economic recovery, the healthcare area has actually experienced a much more rapid rebound than most other industries. And so I think that part of the answer, not all of it, obviously, but part of the answer is just simply the composition of employment in Wisconsin was somewhat unfavorable, unfortunately. Although Wisconsin has been a little bit better than the national average when it comes to, say, employment recovery, if you look over longer periods of time, say, from the January 2011 to January 2013, Wisconsin has actually beat the national average in the goods-producing industry, mining and logging, durable goods manufacturing, wholesale trade, information services, and even in terms of government employment, that's a little bit better than the national average.
Still, Democrats say we ought to be doing much better than we are. Are they right?
Well, I agree. We should be doing much better than what we are. And so the question is how do we actually get there? And I think maybe what the hidden question is, who is to blame? And one of the important things to realize is that some of the reason why the recovery has been as slow as what it has been is obviously nationally the recovery has been very slow, but also it's some of the legacy issues resulting from many, many years of previous legislation. So it's not just any one particular administration or any one particular political party that is perhaps to blame for the economic recovery. But we've had not only a number of laws. I think that the tax code in Wisconsin is unfavorable towards businesses when you compare it to other states that are experiencing a much more rapid rebound, but also in terms of, let's say, population trends. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, one of the fastest growing segments of the Wisconsin population is those who are aged 55 and older. And so you're not going to get a lot of employment growth when you have a very rapidly aging population. So very low population growth itself and then somewhat unfavorable demographics all contribute to some of the weak recovery that we've seen.
Last week, our Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter Sean Johnson did a talk with Governor Scott Walker, and he backed away from his 250,000 new jobs in his first term pledge to some extent. He said that 250,000 jobs could be a month or two late, meaning the end of his term being January, that may be in early 2015. That we would reach that 250,000 jobs marker. Do you think that's possible?
Well, that would be a tough one to pull off, I think. It's entirely possible. Nothing is impossible when it comes to these numbers. There's always, the way that some of these numbers are measured can be very imprecise, and you never know as far as what's going to happen if there's going to be a big employer moving to the area. There have been reports as far as having, a number of manufacturers and even distribution centers opening up. So while it's possible, I really don't assign a high probability to it. As it is right now, I think that we've only, so if you measure from the preliminary statistics that we have on Wisconsin employment, we have about 98,000 total jobs that have been created. Now, it seems to me that we'd have to really accelerate the pace of job creation in order to hit that target. When it comes to private sector jobs, the numbers are about 102,300 that have been created from January 2011 to February 2014. So we're not even quite halfway there.
Governor Walker and other Republicans had criticized Democratic gubernatorial candidate Mary Burke for not releasing any kind of jobs plan before she did last week. And I want to go into some detail as to what she proposed, but the governor himself has not released a new plan during this election cycle. He says that he's not a candidate officially yet. He's focused on being governor. Does the administration, the Walker administration, need a new jobs plan given our situation?
Well, the governor has somewhat released a jobs plan. If you look at what has been released in the, at least back in the February 2013 budget in brief, mm-hmm. That does contain a number of points as far as what the priorities are. So in a way, I think that he does have a plan, and the plan is pretty consistent with what he had campaigned on when he was first running for governor. And a lot of it has to deal with trying to grow our economy, basically through trying to create a more favorable business environment or an environment for creating jobs. So if you look at the various bullet points that he has released, it has to deal with not only growing the economy, but then also developing our workforce, various education initiatives, and then reforming government and investing in our infrastructure. So when you compare what the governor has already released back February 2013 in the budget and compare that to what Mary Burke has released, they're somewhat similar in terms of what they're trying to accomplish. It's just they have very different ways in which they propose getting there.
Yeah, well, why don't we give us a key difference?
Well, I think one of the key differences is just in terms of, and it really does boil down to some of the political differences. I think that when you look at the details of the Mary Burke plan, it has to deal with the government making more investment in these various areas as far as her Invest for Success plan. It reads an awful lot like it's a series of aspirational statements and principles as far as getting the government more involved in directing investment as far as promoting clusters of industries and promoting investment. Whereas Scott Walker's plan appears to be more about getting the government out of the way so that those investments can take place by private sector individuals. So I think that it's just a fundamental difference between how they propose getting there. Mary Burke seems to want to have the state government more involved in directing where the development takes place, and Governor Walker wants to just more create that environment in which the private sector can create those jobs.
We are talking about jobs and the economy in Wisconsin and comparing the jobs plans of Governor Walker and Mary Burke. And we're welcoming your questions. We're welcoming your reactions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is our State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking with Brian Jacobson, an associate professor of business administration at Wisconsin Lutheran College, about the jobs plans of Scott Walker and Mary Burke. Mary Burke says she's committed to making Wisconsin a top 10 economy, while Governor Walker is insisting that his economic reforms are working. And we are talking with our guest economist about the competing jobs plans in the governor's race and the condition of Wisconsin's economy. And we're welcoming your questions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Well, let's talk a little bit, Brian Jacobson, about Mary Burke's plan. She says her vision is making Wisconsin a top 10 economy. Can that be done?
It depends upon how you do the ranking. In terms of being a top 10 economy, I don't think that Wisconsin is going to be the biggest even in the top 10 in terms of, say, national output. But if you do it in terms of, like, maybe a per-person basis or in terms of the pace of growth, then quite possibly. I mean, there's nothing that says that Wisconsin cannot grow more rapidly. So it's nice that she actually said a top 10 economy and didn't define how it is that she would measure that, because that was one of the problems, I think, that Scott Walker was being a bit too precise when he said that he would aim to create 250,000 private sector payroll jobs during his first term. Suddenly, it comes to realize that the governor, though a powerful individual, is not necessarily able to just by fiat push an economy in a certain direction. I mean, just as one example, Scott Walker, look at how long it took in order to implement lowering taxes. Or one of the things that I think held back the recovery in Wisconsin was the lack of harmonization between the Wisconsin tax code and the federal tax code. It's taken about 3 years until it's actually been passed, where one of the really important features, something called the Section 179 deduction. It's basically a tax incentive for businesses to invest in property, plant, and equipment and grow their businesses. That was first allowed at the federal level back in 2008 and then expanded by President Obama and subsequent stimulus programs. But yet the state of Wisconsin, it was either back in 2005 or 2007, which I believe are periods of time in which Mary Burke was the Commerce Secretary, Wisconsin said, no, we don't want that type of stimulus coming here. And so the tax code disallowed that type of calculation for Wisconsin tax purposes. It's one reason why I think that the economic recovery has been so slow in Wisconsin. It's just because of the tax environment was somewhat hostile towards promoting growth.
Well, Mary Burke's plan would spend more on venture capital, and she says she'd focus more on growing industries instead of specific businesses. How would the business community respond to that approach?
Sure. Well, you know, the business community loves it if the government is going to say, hey, we're going to try to promote the growth of certain industries as opposed to picking particular businesses. But when it comes down to it, I think that the question is who makes the decision as to which industries are going to be promoted, which areas of the state are they going to be promoted in? And so when I read through the 40-page report, a lot of it was fairly repetitive. I mean, very nicely outlined. It's a very good read. I think that a lot of people can learn a lot from it. But it left me asking a lot of questions as to, well, how and which specific industries are going to be selected to be winners and and perhaps losers here. Getting the government, a lot of it had to deal with trying to have the state provide almost funding for industry. And a lot of it sounded like these are things that maybe banks and investment companies should be doing, who have the specialized knowledge and resources to make these investments. So perhaps a better approach, instead of having the state decide where these things should be taking place, is to create maybe lower barriers to having private individuals making those decisions.
Yeah. Well, let's take a call. We have John in Elkhart Lake. Hello, John.
Yes, I'll thanks for taking my call. I'll state my question, then I'll hang up. Would Mary Burke or Scott Walker be open to lowering or cutting taxes for business, whether it's a corporate business, whether it's a private business, just making Wisconsin zero taxes for anybody who wants to start a business? Then you would get more jobs created, and you can get your tax base from the workers.
Yep. Well, are either proposing that, Brian Jacobson?
Well, as far as just broadly speaking, when Walker was running for governor, he said he would like to cut taxes on small businesses, whereas Mary Burke has stated that she's going to hold the line on taxes. So just from those two statements, I think that maybe we can infer that Scott Walker might be more open to it, but that's just an inference from that. So, keep in mind, Mary Burke has stated that her plan is basically just a starting point, and she's open to suggestions. But based upon what's currently written down, I would have to say that that would probably be more likely under a Walker administration than a Burke administration. But again, I could be wrong about that. But I agree with the caller that that could be a great idea as far as if you want to promote growth. But the problem then is, what about the revenue side? Right, you lose the taxes, but as the caller points out, you can get it then from the employers. You could also get it from the people who own the businesses on their personal income. So maybe instead of having a corporate tax, which currently only generates about 2% of the state's revenue, so it's minuscule compared to other sources of revenue. Maybe if you eliminate the corporate income tax and just rely on income taxes itself for individuals, where the income is passed through when it's paid out in the form of dividends, perhaps, that could be maybe a good way to promote job creation in Wisconsin. It makes a much more business-friendly environment.
So the tax cut package that Governor Walker signed the day after Mary Burke announced her jobs plan, how will that tax cut package affect job creation?
I think it's going to help. As far as when you lower taxes, and let's face it, Wisconsin, when you compare us to other states, it's the eighth highest in terms of property taxes. It's also the 14th worst in terms of individual income taxes. It's steps in the right direction. So any little change on the margin is going to make Wisconsin a relatively more attractive place. But there's probably still more that should be done in order to, we really want to accelerate job creation and promote new ventures starting in Wisconsin as well.
Mary Burke is also calling for providing universities with more state money, helping students refinance college loans, raising the college tax deduction by about $3,500. What's the thinking here? How will that help the job situation?
Sure. I think that is, one of the things, we have a fabulous university system in the state of Wisconsin. I graduated from Madison and from Milwaukee, and so, I'm familiar with how good the quality of the education is in Wisconsin, but it is getting increasingly more expensive. I think that operationally it would be very difficult to pull off with what Mary Burke is proposing in terms of the student refinancing, effectively having the state of Wisconsin become a bank, making a refinancing student loans, because you get into issues as far as, well, what happens if the person leaves the state of Wisconsin? You get into certain constitutional muddy grounds there as far as under privileges and immunities, allowing people to, you can't shackle them to say you have to live in Wisconsin because the state is lending you money. So I think that there's some maybe misguided premises behind one of her proposals in there as far as with refinancing student loans. But the idea of allowing for greater deductions on income taxes for university expenses, these are all things that could certainly help individuals, especially young people who are looking at staying in Wisconsin maybe and aren't making the most money in the world to help lower their tax burden. So I think that those are some pretty decent plans. However, that is not a unique plank of Mary Burke's plan. I believe that under Governor Walker's plans and policies, some of these incentives have also begun to sort of take hold.
We have just a minute to go. Governor Walker and Mary Burke are both talking about what they would do to boost employment in Wisconsin. In reality, how much of an effect does a governor actually have on job creation?
In the short term, very little. That's one of the problems is a lot of politicians like to say that they're going to come out and do great things and big things. But unless you can actually also get the legislator to go along with you, there's not a lot that one particular individual or one particular administration even can really do. It takes a lot of time for some of these proposals to work their way through the economy. I mean, it takes time for businesses to relocate. So, you know, we can have policies that were implemented back, say, in 2005 or 2007 that harm the economy in 2014 still. So, you know, some of these things take a very long time to affect the economy, and that's why it's more about, I think, paying attention to sort of the first principles behind what their proposals are and whether or not it actually makes sense for making some structural reforms.
Well, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Brian Jacobson, Associate Professor of Business Administration at Wisconsin Lutheran College, Chief Portfolio Strategist at Wells Fargo Advantage Funds. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Robin Cherry, and to Cynthia Schuster for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.